AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Patrick here. Patrick, I need to, I apologize to the Walker Art Museum. Have you been down, when was the last time you were at the Walker or the Sculpture Garden, anything like that?
It's been a while.
You should go to, the Sculpture Garden is just a solid, that is a solid, solid endeavor over there. They've got a one of the better sculpture gardens you'll ever find, period. What was supposed to happen was I was supposed to go, Designs for Different Futures is their new exhibit that's going to be opening up this weekend, and I was supposed to go on over there. Now, I, every year, deal with seasonal allergies, and it was funny because when I went out, I remember I posted the pictures of the Croissant Nature Reserve when I went out there. And on Monday, and lovely. And I thought to myself, okay, yeah, this is going to, you know, I'm not going to really have too much problem this year because everything got really cool. I don't know if you were aware of yesterday. Yesterday was a cool day. But they kind of stuck around. And so this morning I'm going to get some, you know, some allergy medication. And I said, okay, I'm coughing and sneezing quite a bit. Do I really want to go to an exhibit when I do this? And so I had to cancel out, and I know that they plan and stuff like this, and I'm going to get the people on to talk about this exhibit, the Designs for Different Futures, that opens this weekend at the Walker. It sounds exceptional, so I definitely want to get some people on board and get them in here and talk a little bit about, or not on the phone, you know, common sense, and talk about the exhibit. But, you know, we have to continue to maintain. The reason why coronavirus is not getting really any better. I mean, it's funny because someone told me, it's like, well, look, the case counts are down. The death counts are down. Well, the death counts are down because there are states who are saying, oh, well, the person had cancer but then died of coronavirus. Well, they died of cancer. Well, that's not how it works. You know, it's cancer didn't help and it contributed by all means, but they got coronavirus and died of the symptoms of coronavirus. They died of coronavirus. And so yeah, there is this effort right now to change the narrative to make things not sound so bad. And the reality is we're not going to get through this until we take – well, we're not going to get through this until Trump's out of office. And which this is – I mean, if you want motivation to vote, I mean, we'll have a lot of motivation to vote. But if you need motivation to vote, dead serious, we will have coronavirus in 4 years. Still in 4 years at epic levels. You know, we'll have 20 million people sick in this country. We'll have a million dead. And Trump was talking about how no one else could do a better job than me. So, you know, there's your motivation. But the reality is here I am, and okay, do I really want to be coughing guy in the art exhibit? And I said, I mean, I really wanted to go to this. Don't get me wrong. I really wanted to go to this. But I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And so I apologize to them. I know that they set aside only a few spots there, and I was one of them. I wanted to go so bad. But, you know, we have to be common sense. And, yeah, you say, well, it's allergies. Are you sure? I mean, because I'm 1,000% convinced it's allergies. But I said, you know what? I'm not that smart. I'm not a doctor. I can't say for sure. And I might have one of these asymptomatic people. You know, it could be like that. So I decided to hold off on it. I will get them on. We'll talk about this. I'm going to try to get over there this weekend. I will say the allergy medicine seems to be holding pretty well here. So go team go. 952-946-6205. By the way, Patrick, that earlier, sorry for sneezing and coughing all over you. My bad. No, I didn't do that. I got my face mask here. I was being socially responsible, irresponsible on a lot of other levels, though. Hello. Okay, so I've got a fantastic question that is, it comes from two stories which have arisen in the last few days. And one of these stories has to do with religion, so I will do my standard disclaimer. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Catholic, okay? I have missed going to Catholic church. I have a very nice Catholic church. I enjoy it quite a bit, Pax Christi in Eden Prairie. Much like when I've talked about why I don't go to the gym, I don't go to the church because, you know, have you seen the average age of a person in a church service? They're kind of in that target demo in a lot of times. So I don't want to get someone sick. I wanted this. So we haven't gone to church since this whole thing started. And yeah, it's somewhat frustrating. It is somewhat frustrating. If you didn't see the story out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, raw story, I posted this up on social media a few days ago. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, the Diocese of La Crosse, some knucklehead priest, and I understand, as a Catholic, me saying knucklehead priest is probably not the best thing. Some knucklehead priest, I think it was at St. James the Less Church in La Crosse, made the point of, if you are Democrat, you can't be Catholic. Oh, what? Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. All right, so once again, let me make sure we understand. I'm going to step back here when we get to, because this is about abortion, all right? This is about abortion. And this guy has basically, because, you know, we could really boil down the Republican Party and every biblical rule these guys break every day. My God. I mean, if you're a Christian, you know, let's make sure we understand this. There's the Old Testament, but then there's the New Testament. And the reason you're a Christian is because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four first books of the New Testament that tell the story of Jesus. Jesus was God on earth. Henceforth, you became Christian. All right? Follow Jesus of Nazareth. You teach his teachings should matter to you. That's, if you are a Christian, his teachings should matter to you. What were his teachings? Well, funny thing, he never once mentioned abortion. Not once. Nope. And as a matter of fact, if you looked at the Bible as a whole, lots of kids killed. Lots. Oh, I understand. Oh, the Bible says Noah's flood. Well, when they flooded the earth, that was getting rid of all the sinners, including all the pregnant women. Well, he just took care of all them too, didn't he? My God, the Bible is full of killing kids. Oh, all over the place. But Jesus never once talked about abortion. You know what Jesus did talk about? Feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, sheltering the homeless, welcoming in strangers from strange lands. Do you think Jesus would be happy with babies in cages? Nope, he wouldn't. He absolutely wouldn't. Do you think he'd be okay with this massive gun culture? No. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. That's a direct teaching. Healthcare, you guys keep trying to undo the Affordable Care Act when the first attempts at trying to give Americans affordable healthcare, and that's against Jesus' teachings. You guys gleefully cheer as the Republicans cut food stamps for the hungry. Jesus said to feed the hungry unequivocally. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Create a bunch of shame hoops for the poor to jump through and then make them grovel and then give them just enough food so get by, but they have to say thank you in triplicate. He never said that. He just said give them food. So the Republican Party as a whole, I mean, they have to become a Republican. If you are basically basing your religious beliefs on your political party, you have to ignore 95% of the Bible to vote Republican. You do. And especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. My God. Wealth worshiping? Really? Gosh, you guys, no. You guys, it's one of those things where I've danced this dance over and over and over again. And what you get is you get this mentality that people that are brainwashed into Christianity is one issue. It's two issues. It's hating gay people. But now they're realizing that, welcome people in, love thy neighbor, that sort of thing. It doesn't go too well with hate the gay people. So they're kind of starting to tone that down. Not all of them. There's still a lot of homophobic jackasses in the church. There are tons. There are tons. There really are. But they're kind of moving away from that because it's become legal. That's just probably not going to, they're not going to change that. So they're kind of moving away. So it's now back to their comfort zone. The comfort zone is abortion. It's the only issue. And of course, as soon as I ripped on this priest and by the way, are you saying you don't want Democrats to make donations to the Catholic Church? Okay. If that's what you're saying, because you see, is they're banking quite literally on Democrats being better than them and being told, don't come to church, but still keep sending us your money. That's, I guarantee you, in lacrosse, they go, well, when we said that you aren't welcome in church, we didn't mean your check isn't welcome in church. Of course it's welcome in church. But, you know, they that's kind of the way they are. That's where these people are. That's where these people are. So I go after them, and of course I've had a few people come after me and like, ah, yeah, it can't be pro-choice. Personally, once again, I've said this, I wrote about this back in 2016. I'm personally against abortion, but I'm also, as a Catholic, now it's not my job to force my religion on anyone else, and as a Catholic, we are all judged for our own sins. And I had this one woman, it's like, well, you are going to be judged because you're tolerant of this. It's like, wait a minute, I'm against abortion. I wouldn't have one. Trust me, I would not have an abortion. that'd be an interesting procedure. So I'm not, but you see, it's because I don't, I guess because I'm not like them in their, the way that they are. I mean, I believe it, everyone has a choice. You have a choice. Go make your own choice. That you do what you're comfortable with. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I've made my choice. I'm not going to force anyone else. My wife and I have talked about each other, you know, our relationship. We've talked about our kids. We, you know, people make their own choices on this planet. That's how this whole thing works. And, you know, that's just, but that's it. I mean, if you've boiled the entire Bible down to one sin to rule them all. Well, the reality is that your Bible is worthless. And trust me, I've talked to a lot of worthless Christians in the last few days since I ripped on this guy from lacrosse that, you know, basically said, you can't be Democrat. I mean, I'll go back to Father McMichael, my priest one time, who talked about this kind of thing. We say, if you've got an Obama bumper sticker, you can't get communion. And he walked into a church and started yelling at the guy and saying, when was the last time you said that about someone who didn't feed a hungry person today? If you didn't feed a hungry person today, you don't get communion. Or if you didn't shelter a homeless person today, you don't get communion. Or if you didn't help a sick person today, you don't get communion. If you didn't welcome in strangers from strange lands today, you didn't get communion. If you did not welcome in people with peace and love, love and welcoming. If you didn't do that today, you don't get communion. And of course, guys look, and they're making political statements. And that's all this guy was doing. But there's another story that came to light, and another one just on a lot of levels just as infuriating. That was, of course, Donald Trump calling veterans losers. He did. He called them losers. The Atlantic broke the story. The AP, CNN, Fox News all have verified Trump indeed did call veterans losers. Not only veterans, but veterans who fought during World War I and died on the battlefield, losers. He called them losers. He also went on to say that that he didn't want soldiers who had been injured in combat in honor parades. He didn't want them because that was a bad look. And even more perplexing is he openly wondered if the U.S. was the good guy during World War I. Now, we can always go back in history, especially in regards to how the Native Americans were treated by the European settlers here. Clearly, we can go back and discuss that and have a discussion on what was right and what was wrong. Slavery, horrific, a horrible institution, and the legacy of that today still haunts us as Americans. We can talk about certain things. Germany and the Austro-Hungarian Empire, they were the bad guys in World War I. This is not really up for debate, is it? Nope, they were. That was the bad. We were on. Yeah, well, that one's pretty much been decided. Wow. Wow, just spectacular how bad this is. But of course, there are people who are out there right now defending Trump, saying, well, yeah, I actually heard one guy start to say, well, maybe they weren't the best soldiers if they died. To which I said, what'd you just say? Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that someone could honestly think that. What did you say? I'm nothing. I'm just going to shut up here. Yeah, you are, aren't you? You're going to shut up now. The reality is that they are desperately trying to find a way to say, yeah, some troops are losers or suckers because their love of Donald Trump overrides everything. So, let's just make a little sandwich and put these two stories together, because I've come up with a question, which is a fun question to kind of speculate about. Say Bob Woodward releases a tape, an interview tape. Now, this is the Bob Woodward's releasing some tapes, and boy, we'll get to a few of the new ones today. Holy God. But let's just say Bob Woodward has a tape of Trump saying, Jesus is a loser. Okay? Let's just say we have Trump on tape saying Jesus is a loser. And considering he went after World War I veterans, it's not that much of a step, is it? He's probably pretty close. He's probably said some things which are right around the corner from that. How many evangelical Trump supporters would stand by Trump if we had audio proof of Trump saying Jesus is a loser? What is the percentage? It's a good question. Considering that there are a lot of Christians and Catholics who have boiled down their religion to only one sin so they can continue their worshiping of the Republican Party. And considering the fact that what in any other election cycle would have annihilated a candidate's chance of getting elected, attacking veterans, attacking the troops, and then we didn't even get into Woodward's comments about what he called the generals, for goodness sakes. If we had definitive proof that Trump said Jesus was a loser, how many evangelical Trump supporters would turn on him? I'd say only 40%. You would actually have evangelicals coming on. I swear to God, I've thought about this for about 2 days now. I'd say the majority of evangelical Trump supporters, if Trump said Jesus was a loser, the majority would stay with Trump. And as a matter of fact, there would be members who would be out there saying, well, you know, kind of Jesus was a loser. They would. They're a cult. And this is not a far leap. You got the story of the foolish priest down in La Crosse. You have the story of Trump attacking the veterans, World War I vets, all veterans, all soldiers, if you ask me. If he attacked Jesus, how many evangelicals, what percentage of evangelicals would still be beside Trump? How many of them would say, okay, that's it. No, I'm sorry. You crossed a line there. I'd say 40%, and I think only 40% leaving Trump. I think that I'm being generous. I think it could be easily just 25%, that 75% of evangelicals who love Trump would stay by Trump even if he attacked Jesus. Tells you everything you need to know about the Republicans and their heretic religion, which is nothing to do with Catholicism or Christianity in any way, shape, or form. It really isn't. 952-946-6205. Gary, Julie, hold on. I'll get your calls in after the break. Let's take a break now. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
No matter if your kids sit at home on their laptops for online classes or go back to school, it's finally time to clean up the summer mess. And Zero Res can help. They don't just make your home look clean. Their patented powered water safely and effectively cleans and sanitizes carpets, tile, upholstery, area rugs, and more. So get back to clean with 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at just $139. Plus, save 10% when you get your carpets and air ducts clean. Just mention AM950 when you call. That's 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hazel's Northeast is back and offering some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. Delicious breakfast options include the slow-cooked brisket hash, chicken fried steak, and the famed drunken banana French toast. Or for lunch and dinner, there's Swedish meatballs, wild rice gumbo, and more. Hazel's Northeast is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 9 to 2. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis. Make your reservation now at hazelsne2go.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If Trump did say, Jesus is a loser, and we have him on tape saying it, how many Trump evangelical Christian supporters would turn on him? I'd say 40%, but I think I'm being generous. I think less than 40 would probably be the correct number. I think the majority of his followers would say, you know, he does bring up a good point. They would. Trust me. I mean, they probably would. Gary is in, Julie first. Let's go to Julie first. Julie is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Julie.
You really crack me up. Sometimes you make scrambled eggs out of my brain, and that's one time, but I enjoyed it. I was thinking 50%, but you know, we human beings, whether we're religious or not, we have a tendency to want to move towards idolatry instead of the sincere expression of our faith. Now, maybe there's some Catholics and some evangelicals that make an idol out of the anti-abortion movement. That's their idol. That's really who they worship, for instance. And with the political movements in this country, they make an idol out of, like Trump. Trump is actually their idol, or the Republican Party is their idol, and they lose track almost of their Christian faith.
Julie, to back up your point, you know, when you look at a person wearing a Trump hat and a Trump shirt and a Trump jacket and Trump pants and driving a car covered with Trump bumper stickers and flying 15 Trump flags, you're exactly right. That's a false god sort of thing going on right there. That's the golden calf.
Yeah. I would just say this. I do admire something about you. You know, being brought up a Lutheran, I would find it hard to just go off on a Lutheran minister. Of course, they tend to be a little more boring than your Catholic priest, but I admire your ability to call people out and just, you know, be upfront about it. So
Lutherans, a stone's throw away from Catholics. No, quite literally. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry, Julie. Thank you, Julie. I'm just kidding. I love Lutherans. I went to Normandale Lutheran in Edina many years. There you go. I'm good. Unless someone stands up to these people. I mean, think about the audacity of that. You cannot come into our church unless you're a Republican. Seriously. And you guys wonder why people don't go to church anymore. Seriously, you wonder why. It's not liberals pulling people out of the churches. It's you guys firmly placing your hands in the back and pushing them out the door. Because you're more in love with the political power you think you're going to get by preaching political ideology from the pulpit as opposed to, I don't know, teaching Christianity. Wow, what a concept. Welcoming all. Welcoming all. Yeah, you missed that part of the Bible, Padre, didn't you? Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Hey, guys, short statement. First, you know that dam in Nevada they call Hoover Dam? That was Boulder Dam built by Roosevelt, but the Republicans had to name something after the President Hoover. But anyways, Republicans, I'll tell you what they worship, especially the higher-ups, money. That's all they care about. And then talk about false prophets. They talk about that in the Bible. Remember Jesus tangling with the Pharisees? And then about helping your neighbor. There was a Good Samaritan story. This is something completely off key for these right-wing Christian extremists. And anyways, I think you want to find the fake false politicians, the deceitful ones, too, it's called Republicans.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. We didn't have a – did we have a – Patrick, question for you. Did we have a President Boulder? No? Okay, thanks. Fact-checking. There is no president. We didn't have a President Boulder. Oh, I get your point. David is in New Hope. David, thanks for holding. Welcome onto the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A couple points. First, I looked up the abortion statute in Minnesota in 1972 when abortion was illegal and discovered that the penalty for having an abortion was a few years in prison. It was not murder. It was not classified as a homicide.
Well, and David, here's what I want to do. It's like, I'm not going to turn. The question I am bringing up, and the reason why, and thanks, David, I appreciate the phone call. The reason I brought this up was because this priest went down there and he basically saying Democrats can't come on in. Now, considering Democrats are for feeding the hungry, well, that can't be it. Considering Democrats are for giving health care, treating the sick, well, that can't be the reason why the Catholic Church is telling them that they can't come in. Well, I mean, a lot of the Democrats are against the death penalty, and so is the Catholic faith. I mean, the Republicans aren't. They want to put express lanes in on the death penalty. So that can't be the reason. So what's the reason? Well, I mean, like I said, there are two things. One is, and this is starting to fade by the wayside, is that the church's hatred of the gay community, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. They really can't. They are. You know, there are a lot of those elements still there, but that issue is moving away because it's become legal, and it's because and here's why is, and this kind of encapsulates everything. You need, for that issue to be a big issue within the churches of this country, you need politicians who are going to go on out there and say, you need to overturn gay marriage and make all these people who are gay, who are married, unmarried like that with a constitutional amendment. And no one really outside of the most conservative conservatives wants anything to do with that right now. It is not an issue. What did I say back in 2012? After we voted no on banning gay marriage in this state, what did I say? I said, you better get those Democrats in there and pass a gay marriage law in this state because you've got a mandate. And that, you know, and guarantee the Republicans are going to say, you'd better not. You'd better not. But when was the last time you saw any Republican today say, I'm going to get rid of gay marriage? No, because it's an issue which is far more complicated to deal with now. And really, all you do, the only thing that you do if you're a Republican and you're doing this is you promote the ideas, I hate gay people. That's it. That's why that's kind of transferred over to transgender people playing sports. That's kind of how their new avenue is, their new angle is. And so the church itself, because there's no political clout really anymore in trying to vilify gay marriage, has kind of moved away from it. But here we are with the abortion question. And so that's why this priest is saying, you can't be Democrat and come into my church. Well, fine. If I was in the Diocese of La Crosse, I guarantee you I would stop my donations immediately. I wouldn't be going to church. And that would be the end of it. I wouldn't be volunteering. I wouldn't be part of the and you guys sitting there and wonder, why aren't people coming to church? I don't know. You're preaching hate. How about that? And that's what that is. When you say you're not welcome, that's preaching hate. And just, I mean, so I brought up abortion, but I brought it up in the sense being that this is what this guy is trying to do. And this is where these people are at. They are so blinded by their political ideology, morphing Christianity, they're taking Christianity and whittling away the parts like feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, welcoming in strangers from strange lands. They're whittling all that away and focusing only on one sin to rule them all. And so there's where you get the question is that, I mean, what if we had Trump on tape saying, Jesus is a loser? Well, how many evangelical Trump supporters would abandon him at that point? It's an interesting question. If you're looking for my thoughts on this, I wrote about this back in 2016, September of 2016 on the blog Progressive Citizen X. You can go to Progressive Citizen X, look at the blog. You can find the post there. It's called Abortion. And I wrote about it and my thoughts on the whole thing and the entire element of it. Please, I encourage you to do so if you're going to do that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll come on back, the Minnesota Coronavirus Update. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
And the glow from that fire can truly light the world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your internet marketing can do for you, but what you can do for your marketing.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. Coronavirus has challenged every small business owner. What you can do for your internet marketing today will likely determine how your business pivots and recalibrates to find and retain new customers online. Social Media MN offers uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions. Call us today for a hassle-free consultation at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. And right now, Rudy Luther Toyota is offering 0% financing for 60 months to qualified buyers on the 2020 Corollas, Camrys, Avalons, and RAV4s. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
The Blaisdell in Minneapolis has two great options for weddings. The Blaisdell Parlor provides an intimate ceremony space with beautiful greenery surrounding the fireplace. Or for those preferring an outdoor ceremony, the Blaisdell Courtyard, offering a breathtaking space to say I do, surrounded by loved ones and a stunning landscape. If you or a family member was planning on postponing a wedding due to COVID-19, well, this is your chance to make the marriage official while still planning for a reception at a later date. More information and available dates at theblaisdell.com.
Trump, during this press conference that just happened, basically just admitted he's watched 8 hours of Fox News and Fox Business in the last 24 hours. Folks, this is the president of the United States. He shouldn't have 20 minutes to watch TV, if you ask my opinion. Considering the complexity of the job, he should not have large swaths of the day to sit and watch TV. My God, he's like a college dropout staying in his parents' basement at this point. Only, you know, as opposed to watching Cartoon Network and getting high, he's watching Fox News and rage tweeting. Dear Lord. 8 hours! 8 hours! I feel, what did I watch last night? I watched about 30 minutes of Knives Out. Very good film. 30 minutes of Knives Out, and yeah, that was it. I was, yeah, because I got done with the work, and I got to run kids around. I got to do these things. I'm not the president of the United States. How in the world? Okay, if I factored in, like recaps from, from The Late Show with Colbert, stuff like that, all the videos I watch in a day, how much time per day am I watching something that is screen digestible, like a video digestible? Maybe an hour each day? Maybe? He's the president of the United States, and he spends 8 times as much time as I do every day watching TV. And he's probably underselling it, too. He's probably underselling it, too. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week, all of them. That's right. We're featuring them all this week. Stop on by. Enjoy some great food. Get some food for tomorrow, too. Get some food to go. Buy a gift card. A lot of great restaurants. Help out these guys because, you know, this has been tough. We're losing restaurants. We're losing bars. That's jobs. We need to help support them. So go get some food. Get some lunch for the next day. Buy a gift card for a friend. Buy a t-shirt if they sell it. Help out these restaurants. Let's help make sure the restaurant community stays afloat. EatLocalMinnesota.com. That's EatLocalMinnesota.com. Unfortunate news when it comes to the Minnesota coronavirus update. 15 more coronavirus deaths on Thursday. 11 residents in long-term care facilities, assisted living facilities as well, out of that 15. The latest data from the Minnesota Department of Health reflects the continued disparity of the COVID-19 death toll by age and residential type. Among the 1,884 total COVID deaths in Minnesota, 73% have involved most elderly residents of long-term care facilities. people 70 and older make up less than 10% of the state's total population. They also make up the state's total of 82,249 lab-confirmed infections with the novel coronavirus, but they make up 80% of the deaths in the disease. The disparity of deaths by age and residence type has lessened over time, though. Star Tribune review of the COVID-19 deaths reported in June 15th showed that 77.3 involved residents, so it has dropped. So in the last few weeks, their state health officials scheduled a media briefing on Thursday afternoon to discuss the state of the pandemic. Health officials are concerned that recent upticks in infections in young adults, particularly related to college students and outbreaks in bars and larger group settings, could spread the virus back to more vulnerable populations. The positivity rate for the COVID-19 diagnostic testing has risen nearly 6%, and the rate of infections linked to the unknown community sources is 34%. Case counts are beginning to be reported independently at colleges and universities. Winona State University reporting 209 known infections earlier this week, issuing a two-week quarantine that bumped up the most courses fully online. University of St. Thomas reported 16 positive cases to students and one in a staff member for the week ending September 4th. Minnesota State University Mankato reported 65 known cases among students, including 26 who had been on campus and had contact with others. Seven of 97 beds assigned on the Mankato campus for COVID-19 isolation or quarantine of students are filled. Health officials have reported case clusters involving students at multiple colleges in Moorhead, where Concordia College currently reports 41 cases. St. Olaf College in Northfield made headlines last month for suspending students who violated social distancing guidelines at a crowded party. Their institution reported 9 new infections the week ending September 1st, with 60 students now under quarantine due to the exposure risk. Now it's not just Minnesota, Wisconsin, too. UW-Madison is moving all classes online, quarantining students in two of its largest dorms for at least the next 2 weeks. The most significant step by the university to curb COVID-19 outbreak that surpassed 1,000 infections in mere days. Days. Now, I was initially going to bring up a story I found earlier today where there was one of the politicians in Madison was screaming at the university to shut their doors because it sounded like the university was like, that's no big deal. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. The announcement on Wednesday came as little surprise to campus community, many of whom expected the university to pivot from an all-online to all-online in the face of an uncontrolled virus spread. 1,000 cases very quickly. The order came in the fifth day of classes. 5 days! Fifth day of class, I got 1,000 cases already. Wow. Yeah, but Kurt Doubt and Carl Koselka, football! Play football! We want football! God. Just, can you imagine how bad the state would be if Koselka and Doubt were making the decisions? Tomorrow, you know, they're going to have, I think the special session is tomorrow for Governor Wall's extension of the emergency declaration. They're going to throw their little pity party and try to throw out a bunch of his cabinet officials. Yeah, yeah, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution, Paul. The announcement stopped short sending students home at the University of Wisconsin, who live in the dorms. An action Dane County Executive Joe Parisi urged UW-Madison to take on Wednesday. Yeah, that was one of the things he was actually saying was, send everyone home. Just have them do it from home. You know, part of me wonders if the what's going on here is a... You know, let's face it. I mean, one of the things that's been really interesting is to hear the university's financial models be jeopardized as badly as they are because of coronavirus. Like, now, I don't know if you were the same way as I was, but when I'm hearing universities saying, well, you better not stop football. If you don't play football here, if we don't have full stands, if we're not selling beers at 10 bucks a pop, if we're not doing all that stuff, you might as well lay off the entire athletic department. And you're like, really? That, you know, A, it seems like you're a threat. But B, is that's how your finances work? Is that unless you have to have full stands, a full slate of games, you have to have full concessions going, or your entire athletic department has to shut down? That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, and frankly, I think that there's going to be, you know, a lawsuit here when all of a sudden the women's tennis team or the women's track team has to shut down because we can't get rid of football players. We can't get rid of the football coaches. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Well, that translates over to the universities as well. I mean, trust me, folks, the last thing these universities want to lose is that housing money. And, you know, it clearly is a large portion of the school's monetary intake. Don't, you know, hey, you know, you're paying for teachers, you're paying for universities, you're paying for college classes. And at a fine institution, I'll say the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, the degree that you get at the end of it is worth something. That's for sure. You're going to get some money in your career, whatever you choose, because you got that degree. I understand that. But this is, if you look at this as a business model, and I am shockingly a business major from William Penn. I know. What's more shocking? The fact I'm a business major or I'm a veteran? Yeah. Wacky times, huh, kids? That being said, I am actually really concerned that there are people. You got to have the best interest of the kids in mind, the students, not the financial wherewithal of the university. And I got to tell you the truth, I really do wonder. I mean, okay, you can still have the university open. You can still, you know, you might have one or two years of no one on campus. That's unfortunate, but you will recover. You will recover. Will you have all the perks and whistles when you do get back at it? Probably not. Will you have a more dressed down university experience? Will you have a more dressed down athletic department? Yeah, probably. But at the same time, you'll still be around. I hope that people are making the right decisions, not for the betterment of the finances of the institution, but rather for the students and the professors, the teachers as well. 952-946-6205. KSTP Survey USA poll. Former Vice President Joe Biden leads President Trump 49-40 in Minnesota. Biden leading among college-educated voters as well as the Twin Cities and in the suburbs as well. You know, I it's funny because the way that this is reported is, he's closing up. Okay. It's 9 points. Now, the first thing people will say is, well, Matt, in 2016, Hillary Clinton was leading by 9 points with the final poll. And then guess what? What? She won. I know she won the state of Minnesota. I understand it was close. She won the state of Minnesota. But there are two things that were going on in 2016 that are not going on today. Or three things. One, Hillary Clinton is not on the ticket. And folks, Democrats, I like Hillary Clinton, but the Republicans spent 25 years turning her into a Greek villain. For goodness sake, she was, you know, the Hydra and the Kraken and, you know, and Hades all built into one. That there is a lot of people I know who I would consider to be moderate Democrats who basically said, I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. Plus, the second thing was there's a lot of people who are Democrats who just, oh, this is in the bag. Trump's not going to win and didn't vote. And there were a lot of progressives who sat out who were upset about Hillary Clinton winning. And those two things happened. But on third, it's the reality is that this the reason why this is different in 2020 than it is in 2016 is Trump. And he has a full record now on the record. We're not going to, you know, people are not sitting this election out. People are just not going to sit this election out. That being said, if you look at the coverage, I mean, this is a 9-point lead. The margin of error is 5, which means Biden wins by 4. If everyone who's in that margin of error goes Trump's way, it's still a 4-point win for Biden. If everyone goes the other way, it's a landslide 14-point win for Biden, which would basically probably flip Minnesota 8, Minnesota 1. You'd probably see at least 6 Senate seats in the Minnesota Senate flip. You'd probably see another 4 or 5 House seats flip. It would be an overwhelming Democratic majority in the state if it's 14. So, you know, the argument of it's neck and neck, it's not neck and neck. Unless one neck is a giraffe, for God's sakes, it's not neck and neck. But I saw this before. I worked in Iowa. And I worked in Iowa, and I was there in 2020. I was there for the Iowa straw polls. And even if you had a candidate who was leading by 40 points, they would always report it's a close race. You never know. And the reason why they'd say that is because they wanted the money. If they started saying, well, this campaign's over, that's someone who's not going to get money into their campaign. That's not someone that's not going to be buying ads in media, and that's less money for the media. So the media has figured out in Iowa how to basically just present it just well enough to where they can get people to give these candidates money and then they spend the money. If Minnesota's a blowout, there's a lot of ads that are not going to get bought in the papers and in the news channels and on the radio stations that they're banking on that Trump money. They want that Trump money. And it's not just the Trump, it's the super PACs as well. So there is going to be a narrative, but this is the KSTP poll. It's 9 points for Biden. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Brad, welcome on in. Thanks for holding.
Okay, well, yes. I want to say that probably one of the most shameful things that Trump has said about the Trump 19 virus is that children are pretty much immune to it. And he has repeated that just today. He said it was a 2%. And again, I mean, the whole idea is to get the children back into in-person classrooms and to get the workforce back out. Mm-hmm. But this does not address two issues. That is the adults that these children come into contact with. And it's been estimated that it's 500,000 now. And also it does not address the fact of the long-term health concerns that the children may have that we don't know anything about. So again, I think it's just absolutely reprehensible that Trump is using the children as a political ploy.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Let's take our final break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. One more story and we'll get some dancing in as well. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers to find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Their expert staff can help make book recommendations no matter what your taste. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers also sells a wide variety of puzzles and games. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 to 3. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2 Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
God, this the revelations that are coming out about... He bragged about covering for the murder of Khashoggi. Oh, my God. He bragged about that. I mean, it's just amazing. And he voluntarily said all this stuff to Bob Woodward. Unbelievable. OSHA, fined the meatpacking giant Smithfield Foods for failing to protect workers from a coronavirus at his plant in South Dakota. More than 1,000 workers at the plant tested positive for the virus. Four of them died. The penalty that they had to pay? $13,494, which basically breaks down to about $3,500 for each employee that they killed. You know, the reason why that, one of the main reasons why, and I'm glad the Democrats have stood up to this, one of the main reasons why this new, this spending bill for, you know, the relief bill did not pass the Senate is because one of the things that the Republicans are they're demanding is, you know, legal immunity for these meatpacking plants who ended up killing their own employees, knowingly killing their own employees. And yet we don't, because the system that they have set up is that one of them loses a tenth of their Christmas bonus and they can murder four people, include and sicken. How many people do they sicken in the communities they're in? We live in a country today where we have people arguing that shooting a black man in the back because it would be inconvenient to try to wrestle him to the ground is justified because he could have done something. He could have had that Yondo thing where he whistled and it went through and killed all the people. We don't know what he could have had, so it's good that we shot him in the back. They'll argue that. And in turn, a company knowingly kills four of their people, sickens 1,000 of their workers at one plant, and then kills and sickens how many people in the neighboring community? And, oh, well, you know, I think they learned their lesson. That's $13,000. I think that, you know, shame. Let me wag my finger. Shamey, shamey, shame, shame, shame. God, is our country broken right now? Our country is so freaking broken. And if we do not fix this gross tipping of the justice scales, then I, you know, we'll never get better as a country. We'll never get better as a country. Jay Ferguson, did you find that one? Oh, yeah, you did. Here, try to stump him. Try to stump him today. Jay Ferguson in Thunder Island takes us out. You have a good one. We're back on a Friday. Till tomorrow. See ya.